Blog Talk Radio.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're going to regret because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, you're on up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." The devil opened up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings, and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in, and it sounded something like this. Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granted, if you don't fight, no child, no." The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, I'm picking out dough. Granted, we a dog fight, no child, no."
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Rocky and the Gons podcast. My name is Raquel Oki. I'm your host. And for the first hour, our topic is New York City Plumbers Union. And our guest is Mark Belli. I'm going to give you a little bit of an intro. This is our second part to this story. Mark Belli is a union worker, a plumbers union worker. It is his career in New York. And he reported to us a couple of weeks ago on Rocky and the Gons podcast that the union is doing things that he believes are in violation of bylaws, and they're moving really quickly to deny members' rights and give themselves kind of extraordinary rights is what I believe. And Mark has been to federal court with his arguments over the union, which he's going to talk about in a second. I'm going to bring him on. And he'll also tell you what's been going on right now, which is a new push to pass changes in the bylaws, sort of push it in without a proper representation from the membership. I think I've described that okay. I want to go ahead and have put – oops, I think we just lost Mark again. Okay. I'm going to give him a minute to call back. So just getting back to what we're going to be talking about. So Mark Belli was on a couple of weeks ago to tell us about this big, huge problem in New York City in particular regarding the plumbers union. And it's a move by the union bosses, basically, to take control and also to minimize the power of the members. So I think that's – okay, he's back on. Hey, Mark, I see you back on. You are also live. So I was just giving a little bit of an intro, Mark, about our first episode regarding this topic, Plumbers Union Fixed Elections. I don't know if you heard part of that.
I did. Very, very nice what you said.
Okay, good. So thanks for coming back on because I know you have some updates. We spoke on the phone the other day and you gave me a little bit of it. And I want you to go ahead and let the listeners know what is happening with the union. What are they pushing for, and what is your opinion about it?
Well, if you remember the last time that we spoke about this, there was a group of us, a small group of us, who was pushing against slate voting, where one vote voted for 29 members, or 28 members, 28 officers, with the touch of one button. And what's happened since then is for approximately three union elections of full-time officers and part-time officers, they've represented that slate voting is allowed by the Department of Labor. And they represented the administration of my union, Plumbers Local Number 1, that they're allowed to do slate voting, that the bylaws are not important. And now what they're doing is they've come out with Plumbers Local Number 1, United Association, summary of substantive bylaw changes. And they're trying to adopt changes to the bylaws. And in these changes, one of the changes is to allow for slate voting. Now, my whole pretense of this is that for 9 years, for three elections, three general elections, and they've represented that slate voting is in compliance with the bylaws. Why is it that at this time, 9 years later, that they're looking to adopt and change the bylaws to include slate voting if it was never a problem to begin with?
Well, I think they're trying to cover their butts, actually, because I just want to just paraphrase what you're talking about. So when you had your membership go to vote on different aspects of your bylaws or changes on your bylaws or elections, so elected officials, so these are the people that, you know, run the union, so you have to put a lot of faith in them. When they put their suggested, you know, candidates on a slate, it means that you press one button and you basically vote for all of them. So, you know, if there's 17 people on the slate, you hit one button and you vote for them. So Mark's perspective, and I'm going to bring in John Sweeney is also on the line. I'm going to bring him on in a minute. So when you go ahead and push that one button, you're not giving each candidate, according to, I think, your perspective, Mark, the candidates are not getting, you know, a fair share, right? So they should be voted upon themselves and what their platform is. And they're not getting to do that. So they basically put who they want on the slate. And now, because that was your first issue, so now what they're doing is that they're trying to push these bylaws in, I think quickly, and I think without too much fanfare and without too much membership opinion, because they don't want it. They want to push it in so that they can do the slate voting, among other things. I want to go ahead and bring John on. Hold on a second.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Hi, John. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for coming back. So we were just, I don't know if you heard part of it, John, but we were just talking about what we basically surmising what we talked about the last time, a couple of weeks ago, and that's that the Plumbers Union in New York City is, you know, sort of pushing on the membership, the slate voting, their proposed candidates, you know, one check, one vote, just get them all in, and they continue doing
yeah.
what they want. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, what they're taking away is the random selection of your placement on the ballot, which was in our Constitution, that gives you a fair shot. Each job had its own individual row, and then you randomly pick where you are placed in that row for the job title. So if you have the job title of business agent, you would pick, you know, from 1 to 10 or 1 to 15, depending on how many candidates, and that would determine your placement on the ballot. By going to slate voting, they're already on the first row. They're in all a row together, and anybody else is in the other category, so you're not randomly being placed on. And it does have a statistical edge. It gives you a statistical edge. So they're trying to, you know, increase the odds that they're going to win, you know.
Right. Now, what else is going on since our last show?
Let me just say.
So now, after violating the Constitution for several elections, now they're adjusting the bylaws to cover what they've been doing, to legitimize what they've been doing with slate voting. And they're also taking away powers from the election committee. They're disempowering the election committee. So in the old bylaws, the election committee had specific duties and abilities to tabulate the vote and watch the machines and bring the machines in, take the machine, you know, be very close and watch what's going on and tallying the machines. That's being taken away. The other thing I noticed that's being taken away is all the candidates have a right to use the union facilities and to use their mailing list. And, you know, it's under the guard of the union, but it's being completely taken out of the Constitution.
So you don't have access to the membership, only the leadership?
Well, this is something we're going to have to clarify and question them on, because I just read the Constitution, the new version and the old version, and they're completely taking it out.
John, let me add.
They're changing the duties of the election committee. They're minimizing the election committee duties. So,
John, yeah, it sounds like
this
is more power.
Is what they've been doing. They've been doing this in violation of our Constitution for several elections now. Anyway, so now they're just legitimizing it, you know.
John, you wanted to say something more?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, John, let me say that there is no question that the bylaws, the current bylaws, and the Constitution of Plumbers Local Number 1 require that after nominations, that each and every candidate who's nominated for office draw for their ballot position. This is written clearly into our old bylaws, into the current bylaws. There is no question that at the last three nominations of full-time offices, that the candidates that were nominated did not draw for the ballot positions, because what the administration did was they said, this is our slate, and either the slate was row one or row two. In most cases, I think it was row one. And the candidates, you know, the bylaws were just completely thrown out the window. What John's going into about the access to do mailings and stuff like that, completely other issue. But nothing
yes.
in my mind could be clearer than this. And if the bylaws did not have to adopt and allow for slate voting for the last three elections over the last 9 years, if it was not a requirement, why are they doing it now?
Right.
You know,
I have a question for either one of you. What is your recourse now? So you guys have been able to identify that there's definitely some problems that there's violations of bylaws in your constitution or your bylaws, is there anything that gives you, you know, a recourse, something to do to fight back from this control? It sounds like, you know, real control to me.
Well, we already have followed the procedure in each election. We file a complaint with the general president of the international, and he sends a representative. One day he comes to the local and questions all the candidates on both sides, and he writes a report, and then the general president writes a letter, you know, whether approving his report or disapproving, but he always approves it. And then we have one opportunity to dispute the general president to appeal, and then he writes us a letter back, and we already went through that process. So the next after that, we have the, yeah, we have the right to go anywhere we can to try to get you know, some justice. And we the next step usually is to go to the Department of Labor. You have 30 days to file a complaint with the Department of Labor. But
are you doing that?
The past history, the last two elections, the Department of Labor, you know, says yes, they violated this and they violated that, but we're not going to overturn the election. You know, we don't believe that these violations, you know, affected the outcome of the election, so we're not overturning the election. You know,
when in addition to what John's done with making protest and following matching, which are all basically, John, correct me if I'm wrong, but internal protest within the United Association of Plumbers and Pipefitters. This is why, before this last election, I went to federal court and I filed against slate voting. And Judge Chen, C-H-E-N, Chen, found, came down to misconduct of union officers. And Judge Chen found that misconduct by union officers in administrating an election does not provide the court, the federal court, with a basis for exercising subject matter jurisdiction under the LMRDA, Labor Management Recording Disclosure Act.
Right. They want you to go to court. And I think that you said you have you made application to state court on your grievance?
We haven't. We can, but in a retaliatory thing, they came out with bylaws revisions. Now, if the membership passes to allow for slate voting, there's basically nothing we're gonna be able to do about it.
Do you have a scheduled vote that the membership? Is there any way for you all to appeal to the members?
They've already
read the first reading. They have to do three readings of their bylaw changes. And they already did the first reading, so then they're going to do two more. On third reading, they'll have a vote. And they're doing a vote in a different way than they've never done before. They're going to call for a voice vote. And it requires a two-thirds vote, 66 2/3% vote. You know, and then they're going to, if anybody contests that, they're going to say a division of the House. So they're going to say, well, who's not in favor of passing these resolutions, stand up. That's what a division of the House is. Oh, raise your hands. So it's that's an intimidation tactic, you know.
Okay. Tell me what happens if you, like, what's the tactic? So if you're fighting the leadership for power, how do they retaliate against you? Do you miss out on work? Do they not give you jobs? How does that work?
Well, let me say that this is part of the reason. This is the reason why me and John are here. We're hoping to appeal to members to stand up for what's right or what's wrong. It's not just that they're changing this one clause in the Constitution and bylaws. They've got, I'm looking at a piece of paper with 55 different items that they're changing to our bylaws. And they're doing it with one yes or no vote. All right. Now, in my mind, in my heart, the biggest thing is that they're adding slate voting. And the biggest issue that I have with this is that if slate voting, if this is required, that the bylaws and the constitution of our local be ratified to include slate voting, then why haven't they had to do it for the last 9 years for the last three elections? There are members who have become, who were apprentices and become journeymen. And it's, John is retired. I am, you know, within 12 years of retiring, and I'm 48 years old. I've been in this local since I got out of high school. That's kind of a rare thing today. There are young fellas who really don't even know anything other than slate voting. And they just, John, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not 9 years. They've only used it in the last two elections over a 6-year period. So
no, they've used it for full time. They've used it for the general elections over 3 years, three elections.
No, they use, well, in this 18 election, okay. The one that just passed.
Right.
So
the one that
12,
just passed. So that would be nine,
12, 15,
three
and
elections, 9 years.
Yeah. No, six
but you
years.
Said
so,
that the Labor Department has already determined that the slate voting didn't affect the elections and they weren't willing to overturn it. Is that correct?
What the Labor Department determines was that slate voting is allowed, and it is allowed. But what they haven't gotten into was looking at our bylaws. It's allowed, providing the bylaws permit it. And
right.
It's never been permitted.
Right.
And now they're going to have the vote. It's going to change unless the membership stands up. A third of the membership objects to it. And what John's trying to say is it's very intimidating because people have jobs on the line. People are not like me and John, that normally stand up and say, hey, this isn't right. And it's just, it's upsetting.
You might not be at risk or John might not be at risk, but some of the members who, you know, they want to keep their jobs. So they want job security.
Right.
They don't want to get on anybody's nerves. And they just might as well, you know, they're used to the slate voting. They're not running as candidates. It doesn't matter to them so much, so they're probably likely to just go and vote for it, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah. And they're extremely hostile. At the last meeting, all I did was get up and say, well, how are we going to vote on these resolutions? What method are we going to use? Can we vote individually, and what method? And they were like on fire, like I'm attacking them. I'm just asking a simple procedural rule. How are we doing this? And the reason why I got up is because they didn't explain it to anybody until somebody gets up and asks. So just to give you their attitude and their mindset. So when they see that they're hostile towards me or Mark or anybody else, that intimidates everybody else. I'm not going to get on that microphone and have, you know, these guys all hostile and mad at me. You know, I might have to ask them for a job, you know.
My thing at the last meeting was there was three items that needed to be changed that were mandated by our parent local, the United Association of Plumbers and Pipefitters, our international. There were three mandated requirements that had to be changed. And one of them was that apprentices who are fourth and fifth year must be eligible to vote. Now, if that's a mandate from our parent company, from our parent local, this is not something that should be subject international. This is not something that should be subject to a yes or no vote. This is something in my mind, in my heart, that should come down to a vote of confidence, where you just change it because this is what's mandated. And they're putting this on the yes or no vote to all the membership, where I've had members say to me, the United Association, the UA, is mandating these changes. And that's not the case. They're not mandating. They're only mandating, to my looking at these 55 changes, they're only mandating three of them. There are approximately 15 to 20 changes where the offices are all giving themselves raises. And the average member is under the impression that these raises are mandated. I mean, it sounds really crazy. You have
they're
misrepresenting themselves. I have another question for both of you. What is the benefit then? So we have these leaders in place. They're making all these decisions. They're bypassing bylaws. What is it? What are they gaining out of it?
Empowerment of themselves and disempowerment of the membership. They're empowering themselves. One of the things, the last resolution they're changing is you can change the bylaws with 15 members. Now they're upping it to 50 members have to sign on to a resolution.
Do they argue the points?
You're not allowed to argue the points. All they're allowed to do, or anybody is allowed to do, is that go through the first two readings and then the third reading. After the third reading, then there's discussion. That's the procedure. And then they vote.
So you haven't got even to the discussion part, which is going to happen in November.
Right.
November 15th.
I mean,
when the discussion happens.
As for a clarification of each one of them. So,
I
mean,
you can ask for clarification, and you can discuss the voting process, but you cannot discuss the details. And what you said before, there's an old saying, ultimate power corrupts ultimately. And, you know, it's there's too much power behind this. The bylaws and the traditions of the three former plumbers unions of New York City, particularly, you know, always allowed for a two-party system, okay? And since we've been merged, it's a completely different ball game with offices that have this kind of power. People today, they take slate voting for granted. And there's a reason that our bylaws, after the merge up until 9 years ago, there's a reason that our bylaws said that each and every member shall choose for ballot position, so that you're voting for each candidate on their own merit. Could you imagine in a regular election, you go down to vote for the president, the mayor, whatever, and there was one button to hit the Republican line. There was one button to hit the conservative line. There was one button to hit the Democratic line. This is not something that's adopted. This is something that you should be voting for.
You mentioned to me on another conversation that they did other unions in New York City have slate voting in their bylaws.
Correct.
And it's something that other unions are accustomed to. I'm just going to play devil's advocate. What's wrong with it? Why do the other unions make bylaws so that they do have slate voting, and how is it working out for them?
I'm not saying that it's okay for them, but when you have an organization like the laborers, who I believe have had it for 60 to 80 years, slate voting, the membership has adopted this. The membership, you know, that ship has sailed. This is what they do, okay? You have the carpenters who have had it. I don't know, in the 90s, I believe the carpenters, some of the full-time officers got arrested because of bribery or whatever the issues were, and they've had
a monitor,
slate voting. They've had a monitor.
They've had a
judge
government
appointed.
Monitor in the carpenters district council.
Now they've had slate voting for a number of years. With the plumbers, we've always had it traditionally for 100 years. That each candidate
up
runs
until
in their
years
own
ago,
merit.
Up and started
9 years
in 2012. Six, not nine.
Right, six years, because, well, you said that every 3 years is an election. This was the third time.
You're right,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, this is the third time.
9 years is 6 years. 18. You're right.
No, I just want to be clear. That's
you know,
all.
Like, you're right, John. Now, you go to our sister local, which is Local 638, which is not plumbers. It's the steam fitters of New York City, okay, who do the heating and
same
the sprinkler piping. Same international. Every one of their candidates run on their own merit, all right?
No slates,
you know,
allowed.
No slates.
Okay, you are the only one without slates.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I think the membership of 638 would vomit if they came up with slate voting. I know people in 638. I almost became a 638 member at one time. Everyone there runs on their own merit. And this is the way that it should be in Local 1, because this has been the history, except for the officers pull the fast one over the membership, and here we are 6 years later, three elections later, and
right.
People think that there's nothing wrong with this.
All righty, guys, we're at the bottom of the hour. Just sit tight with me. We're going to go on.
I just want to say, it's a ganging up on the membership is what it is.
It sure sounds like that. I want to come back and I want to talk about something.
And it's a coercion to vote a certain way. They're trying to coerce you and lead you to press the one button and kind of like ganging up on you instead of trusting the will of the members and letting the go and hit the individual button and pick the candidate they want. So,
yeah, I mean, I think it is coercive. It doesn't give people a chance to vote per person. I think it's destructive, and it might be part of the reason why the past three elections, they're confining their power. So they just keep getting more power at each election. But, guys, we're at the bottom of the hour, and we are going to go on a short break. We'll be back in about 2.5 minutes. You're listening to Rocky and the Gons podcast. We are a Win World Integrity News Network production. And we'll be right
back.
Thank you. John, can you hear me?
Yeah. Are we off now?
The mama pajama rolled out of bed and she ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout and he started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. Or what did mama saw? It was against the law. The mama looks down and spit on the ground every time my name gets mentioned. The papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Take me away, but the press let the story leak. Now when the radical preach come to get me released, we is all on the cover of Newsweek. And I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Rocky and the Gons podcast. My name is Raquel Okia. I'm your host. And we are a Win World Integrity News Network production. Thank you, Bobby Biesinger, for sponsoring our programming. And I'm speaking with Mark Belli. Mark Belli is a New York City member of the New York City Plumbers Union. And we're talking about a lot of – Mark, you're live also. We're talking about six elections, late voting, unfair practices, and it doesn't seem like you're getting anywhere. Is what's in my mind. Have you, Mark, tried to reach out to local newspapers, the Post, the News, anyone to cover your story locally?
I don't think that this at this time is something that I could really get press on. You know, you've been nice
why
enough
not?
To have
you know
me,
why, this, Mark? This. It's because, you know, nobody knows. And sometimes, you know, I think the public is your friend. I think the more light you put on it, the more sunlight you put on the topic, the better it is for you, because maybe that would, you know, put some other eyes on what's happening so that members can come forward without feeling like they're going to be retaliated against, which is really not fair. So you have people who don't want to speak their mind. They're going to go with the slate voting. They're not going to agree with any objectors because they don't want to get called out. They don't want to get yelled at. They don't want it. They want to go with the flow so that they can get jobs. I mean, it just seems like the leadership needs to be called out.
If you could get John on the phone, there are other issues here. Do you have John? Is John here?
Yeah, I got him now. Thank you.
Yeah,
okay, John, you're back.
There are other issues that we've talked about that we don't have any real concrete proof about, but there are problems with some of the votes that's happened in the past. John, you could elaborate better probably, right?
As far as the electronic voting?
Votes
mean,
that have taken, yes, yes.
Yeah.
If you want to go in.
Yeah, I think I talked about this the last time. The opposition was gaining votes. We were closing the margin.
We were at one time almost a two-party system. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, well, we continued to have two parties in the beginning of the merger. You know, we continued it over from Local 2. We didn't stop. And then the second party was starting to gain. I got reelected, and we got five people elected to the convention, and we had the margin was closed, 38 votes, 17 votes, 50 votes. And that's when they got scared, and that's when they brought in – electronic voting. A lawyer and his team of lawyers and consultants from the Department of Labor and an electronic voting company. And they also had a representative there from Diebold. And the Diebold machines at that time were being contested in court and being pulled off the market, let's say, and put in a warehouse. There's several documentaries about this, but they went ahead and used them. And you don't have a voter-verified paper audit trail. So you press that button, the machine could be programmed to put whatever vote that they program it to do. And you have no proof that your vote was cast the way you wanted it to. You know?
Yeah, but I think the headline of the story goes beyond, you don't have to necessarily prove that those votes were cast or they were counted improperly. But the story is that the leaders in the union are completely manipulating the members, and they're also intimidating them, and also the idea that they're changing, you know, how many bylaws did you say, 54 changes or something, Mark? That they're making all these
changes.
55. They're making all these changes, and the membership, you know, and they are in violation of the bylaws. And then to make the hurdle of 2/3 vote, in order to defeat any of their proposals. I mean, they're just proposals,
I
think. You know, according to the bylaws, this should be a membership, because this is what I think the public is interested in, and that's why I think it's a story. And it's because these leaders are taking advantage, and what do they get in return? Well, they get big raises, and they get cars, and they have expense accounts, and they continue to keep the power. And they control the union, and they keep putting themselves in the same positions each election, not allowing or not, you know, making it really difficult for anybody to take over their positions. And I think that the public
Right.
Would want to know about that. What do you think about really defining some local press like the Post or the News, even the Times? What do you think about that, and have you reached to any reporters?
We believe in competition, you know, and what they're trying to do is cut out the competition. If you're such a good officer and you're confident in what you're doing, you should run a fair and honest election and not worry. Because an apprentice under a journeyman, the best plumbers I worked with that taught me the most in the trade were the ones that were confident. They weren't afraid to show me because they said, I'm a good plumber. I'm not worried about you taking my job. And that's how it should transfer to officers. If you're a good officer, you're confident, you're honest, and you're doing the right thing, then have an honest election and you'll win. So it's a bit of insecurity, and then it makes you wonder, well, why do they want to do that? Are they doing their job? Or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, why is it that they want to do it? And I think it's because they give themselves raise, they keep in power, they keep their position,
it's all about control.
They keep their high salaries. What do they make per year?
And, you know, there's people there that I admire. Mike Capuzzo, I've said this before, and I'm saying it again, he's the number one guy in our local, the business manager. He is the right guy for the job. The problem is that everyone else that fits on his coattails shouldn't get a free ride with him. Everyone should be running on their own merit. That's my
their salaries.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They have to file them with the federal government. They don't hide their salaries. It's in the LM2s are filed. And they make, you know, what officers in a local of that size would make. And it's not that they're making way too much money. They make a good salary for a plumber. They make above a foreman's rate, you know. So it's not that.
Okay.
It's just that they don't believe in themselves, or they just want to hold it for themselves and their friends and their family, so that they have the influence to help their family and friends. And it's not a free and fair election. And the future leaders of the local that could advance the local, who are apprentices or young journeymen sitting in that meeting, are being, dissuaded from being involved in the political process. So then you're left with the, you might have one or two good leaders and then all their lackeys and friends, you know.
Yeah, I got you. That's part of the give back. So they want to keep power because that allows them to give their friends or family, you know, it's the nepotism. So they're in a position of power, they can give friends and family jobs. And that's important. So that's a lot of power. I still think I think the public would be interested in this story.
Yeah.
I really
do. Anybody who read the book Animal Farm, when you were in the eighth grade or whatever it was, understand, if you read that book, that some members are considered more equal than other members. And unfortunately, as I go around, and I just mentioned it in passing to my brothers in the plumbers union, most guys haven't read that book. I'd say like 10 to 20% of the people have read that book and understand what I'm talking about. But it's... You know, when the three locals of our union merged, the politics all changed. And what's happening today is not politics. What's happening today is things are being mandated. So, you know, once the membership makes this vote, once we vote to have slate voting and all the other changes, to reform the bylaws under our current rules, you have to have 15 people sign a petition or agree to a petition. With the bylaws revisions that they're coming out of, one of the 55 points is that you have to have 50 people, 50, sign off for a change.
Especially, it's a big stretch from 15 to 50 people. What is their reasoning?
It's to prevent the future membership making any changes in favor of the membership.
Right.
You know,
well, that's not
it's putting
membership
up another obstacle. You know, this is part of like a bigger picture. Since we had the merger, they have been step by step disempowering the membership. We used to have a negotiation committee that members are on, like an advisory committee. We used to have an arbitration committee. So if there was any arbitrations, there was an advisory committee for that. We used to have members that would go up to the pipe trades conference upstate with all the other locals. So regular members would go, you know, once a year to a conference. That's all been taken away from the membership. And it's just like a war of attrition. They're wearing the empowerment of the members, and they're empowering themselves and taking the power away from the membership, each of those positions. And now they're doing it again. They're going to take some power away from the election committee, because in this constitution change, it says that the election committee does not have the right to make any changes in the election process. And it just says the local union shall make the rules for the elections. It doesn't say who in the local
union. No,
if you read
the current bylaws before they change it, okay, it's very clear that there's an election committee, all right? And what they really should do was, if they're going to change the election committee that decides how to have, should decide under the Labor Management Disclosure Standard Act, the election committee should decide how the nominations are happening, how the campaigning is done, how the ballot positions is done, and everything else. They should meet and do this. If they're going to take this power away from the election committee, what they should do is they should go a step further and change the name from the election committee that makes these changes to the election poll workers told to do. It's a false representation.
At least right. Be clear. Let me ask you something, guys. Your membership, the membership that is invited and can vote in November on the third, you know, attempt to change or vote
15th.
For the changing all these bylaws.
November 15th.
What percentage of the membership do you think even knows about this? Are they aware?
They send out a mailing to the entire membership, so anybody that read the letter should know that this is going on. And they had an opportunity to go to the last union meeting, and there's two more union meetings before the vote. So,
did you have a good crowd on the first union meeting? Like, what percentage of members actually show up?
I don't know. The apprentices,
we had a full room.
Apprentices are mandated to go.
Okay.
The hall, has been made smaller than the previous hall that we had. But I don't know how many.
It's sort of convenient that the apprentices are mandated, and the apprentices are exactly the ones who aren't really going to participate because they don't want to create any waves.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it puts really in a corner. How are you going to reach out to the members? And it's not just being aware of they may have received the letter, but the history of it, that, you know, you all were a union that didn't have it in the bylaws. That it's an eye opener to get the point
right.
That the leaders are changing these things, you know, in violation of bylaws. And are you okay with that? You know, have you been able to, or can you get that message out to the membership?
Yeah, that's what we have to do. And the other thing on the procedures is they're taking away the secret ballot vote. If they go to a voice vote and a hand vote, you know.
When I
asked
at the last union meeting,
why are they going to a voice vote? Aren't you supposed to have a private vote?
I've been in the local 41 years, and we've had other resolutions on constitutional amendments, and we've never had a voice vote on them. We've always had a mechanical machine vote on a constitution change. So,
when I mentioned this at the union meeting,
what about your
bylaws?
Is it supposed to be a private vote?
When I asked at the last union meeting if it was going to be a secret ballot, the officers basically said and answered, "We don't know yet. We have to get the readings done, and then we'll figure it out." So, you know, if you take everything else, the deception that's went on with everything else, including the fact that they represented that for the last three elections, 6 years, they're allowed to do slate voting. And now, if that was really true, why are they changing or attempting to change the bylaws now? Okay, when the deception involved with that, including with the letter that was sent out notifying people of the bylaws changes. I'll read this here right now.
all at the 39th UA convention in August 2016, there were changes made to the United Association Constitution and bylaws that it mandated and the need to be adopted in the bylaws of all UA locals, period. Therefore, Plumbers Local Number 1 will need to make all the necessary changes in order to, and they go on and on about the changing of bylaws. There was three items that the United Association mandated to be changed, not 55.
Right.
Right. So there's trickery going on here. Yeah.
If you go by all these misrepresentations.
This is what
we're voting on this with a hand vote now. Okay, all those in favor, it requires, like John was saying, a two-thirds vote. Two-thirds is very difficult to get.
Can you all get a membership list address or email address list and do a mass email notifying members of what you all, you know, after reviewing their proposed changes and the bylaws, that this is what you've come out, you know, comprehensive letter explaining what you guys have determined. Can you do that?
The only way we could do that now is declare ourselves a candidate in the next election and then do a mailing of the entire membership, which is around 6,000 people, and that would cost, you know, over $3,000, you know.
That wouldn't happen for two and a half years. That wouldn't happen before November 15th.
No, you can declare yourself a candidate and put out a letter at any time. I got that.
But you have to declare yourself as candidate, and then you get the list, and of course, money.
Yeah, we could declare ourselves candidates,
and
then they
would. What about email addresses? Because they're not email addresses.
They would give us access to the mailing list. We would be able to mail through them according to our bylaws now. That's one of the things I think they're going to take out. They don't do email lists in the local. I got that from them the last time because I wanted to do an email list, you know, for my candidacy.
Right.
They just do mailing addresses. So.
That doesn't make sense. So, what year are they in? 1980?
They're not up to that yet.
Everybody uses email. Everybody. All candidates use email because it's cheaper.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
So they're not doing it because they don't want us to have access.
No, they don't want any. Yeah, they don't want you to be talking amongst yourselves.
Because I asked that specific question at the last election because that's what I was going to do because, you know, it's costly to run in these elections, you know. So we have to do a mailing. And that's the only way we could reach everybody. But, you know, I do have my own individual list from people I know through the years. It's not an entire list. You know, and I do have some people's emails, and I'm on Facebook, you know, so I can reach people. We can go out job to job and pull on jobs, you know. That would be a lot of footwork, you know.
Even if you prepared, like, a leaflet or something that you could distribute that has just the key points on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth
those
a try.
Those are the things that we can do.
It's worth a try, but you really have a tough road when the deck is stacked against you.
Yeah, and we don't have easy access to the jobs these days because the security on the jobs jobs aren't as open as they used to be where you can walk in off the street and go on a job. You have to be outside the job. Or get a security badge to get to a security check to get on most construction jobs today.
I see.
So, yeah.
Well, I have an idea. If you guys want to, sometimes print media goes long way than the radio media because it's just more succinct. But I write for a publication called The Liberty Beacon, and I could put together a story with a good headline. And at least you could take that story, you know, like 600 words, not too long, and take that story. You could pass it around social media, email, things like that. Are you guys down? You want to do it?
Yes. Yes, we could do something.
Okay, this is what I'm banned from Facebook for 30 days, which is killing me. I'm in Facebook jail. I'm already down 20 days, so I have about 10 days to go. So that's good. Have my number, so you just give me your email. I think I have your email address already, but I need John Sweeney's email address, and what I'm going to do is send you some questions, and you all just answer them in the email, and I'll write the story.
Okay.
Make it easy for me, because I'll quote you directly in your answers.
Okay.
I'll try to get it done within the next 4 or 5 days, and I'll get it posted at the Liberty Beacon, and then at least it's online. And you all can like share it.
Okay.
And sometimes what happens is that if they see a good headline, the local media really might pick it up. And that I think is your goal. Like you want the New York Post to cover it. You want somebody local to cover it so that story, that headline gets out. You might even get media at the meeting, or do they let media inside the meeting?
No, you have to be a member. They don't let media in.
They don't let media in, yeah.
Unless
it seem right
an
either.
Invited guest, from the community that they invite, But I don't think they've ever invited any media, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That would surprise me if they did, I guess.
As a matter of fact.
They don't want any media there, right. But I want to put media on this story just because it's important for the membership to know.
I submitted resolutions in 1992 or 93, and we had a Newsday came down, and our photographer ran down the aisle to take my picture when I was on the microphone, and they threw them out.
Oh, did they really? Somebody
really
could cover. They don't have to be inside the meeting to cover the story. They can do interviews.
Right.
So I'll try. I'll definitely try to get it out there. We are getting close to the bottom of the top of the hour. So I want you to go ahead and have the last word, both of you.
Mark,
John,
you have something to say?
Okay.
I want to thank
ahead.
You for your opportunity to have us in here, because this is one more step to getting the word out there. The bottom line comes down is that the officers of Plumbers Local Number 1 pulled the fast one over the membership. If it was never required to have the last three elections, slate voting, why are they making that change now when the average member who doesn't understand the rules, has never looked at a rule book, bylaws and everything, they're allowed to do this. They're making the change because the UA mandates it. That's not the case. And I hope to God the people on November 15th will stand up and vote no. But the fact that we're not, and they were very clear about this, I don't believe that we're going to have a secret ballot, which is what we need to beat these changes. And these changes also include...
Yeah, I think so too, because then it removes the intimidation. It's a good point.
Right. These changes also include giving themselves raises. Some of these people make 180 grand a year, and they're going to be getting a raise. And what's going to happen is our union dues and the 2% or 2.75% gets deducted every week from our paychecks to go to the union to help fund them. We're going to end up paying more money so that they can have raises. That's a pretty healthy salary, 180 grand a year. That's
what kind of percentage of a raise are they trying to get?
It's complicated.
They're not doing it by percentage. Yeah.
It's very complicated. I have to read the bylaws.
All right, guys. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you out some questions, and I'd like to see a copy of the bylaws if you can, Mark. Also email that to me.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Absolutely.
You guys have been great guests. Thanks again for coming on and continuing this story. I think it helps too, Mark. Every little bit helps. And you all can cut out this recording because this is a 2-hour show, and I have another guest coming on. But you can cut out this first hour and put it on YouTube or share it. Do whatever you want with it. It does get archived after the show, so you can keep it and listen to it and share it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome, guys. I love talking to you guys because you guys, like, you know, you're real New Yorkers, and I'm a New Yorker, and I've been in Florida for 7 years, and it's people, when I went back home last year, some people were like, you're losing your accent, and I was like, oh, my God. Don't say that. So,
you're a New Yorker. It's deep in you. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. I really miss it terribly, too, which is awful. All righty, guys. So you're listening to Rocky and the Gons podcast. We are coming back with Chuck Williams, and we're going to be talking about Kavanaugh confirmation hearing, and we're going to be talking about war and Korea and Trump. It'll be a lot of fun. Stay with us, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes. Thanks again.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Woman beg, and I make a good woman steal. I make an old woman blush, and I make a young girl squeal. I wanna be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone. Bad. Bad.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Rocky and the Gons podcast. My name is Raquel Okia. I'm your host. And our guest, our next guest is Chuck Williams, returning guest, professor, and our homeland security expert, except he's not on the call yet. So I already sent him a message to call in, and I am just waiting for him to come back. I'm going to give him a couple more minutes, and we might just end the show early if the guest isn't coming on. So I'm gonna go ahead and play one more tune, and we'll be back in about 4 minutes. Thank you for listening. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Rocky and the Gons podcast. I'm your host, Raquel Okiai. And our second guest is not available. So we are going to end the program a little early tonight. And I'm not going to sing the Star Spangled Banner alone. So, I'm just going to end the show with a little tiny music. And we'll be back next week, Friday night, every Friday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Our call-in number stays the same, so you can save it in your cell phone. The number is 646-787-8638. Again, that's 646-787-8638. Thanks for listening in. God bless you all.